Tonight, I want us to look at a few basic wisdoms of life. Just the wisdom of life. You know, throughout Scripture, when you're reading the Word of God, remember, as you are praying about the Word of God, as you are allowing the Word of God to sort of be a part of your total spirit, there is always, the Word of God always has more than knowledge. The Word of God always is backed up by wisdom. The Word of God is always powerful. The Word of God is the only word that any of us will ever hold dear within our heart to remember that can really make a difference in this world. It is the wisdom that makes the difference, not knowledge. Great to have knowledge. All of us have to have some kind of a knowledge. But folks, knowledge without wisdom, that's downright dangerous. Sometimes we'll see that in the United States with politicians. Sometimes all of them are just dangerous. And that's why I always take it that the Lord said, pray for them. Pray for your leaders. That's the wisdom from God in Scripture. The wisdom and success of life comes through the understanding and the doing of the Word of God. Now, as we understand God's Word, we express our love to God by doing what we say that we understand. Now, as we go about doing God's Word, we need to always be in prayer, because the closer you will stand to God's Word, the more hell is going to come against you, the more of the world that's going to try to knock you down. Why? Because it bothers people. See, when we go into a situation, it doesn't matter what it is, family, friend, or whatever, and you start listening to them, and then all of a sudden we will talk to them and say, well, you know, you're going to have to pay a little bit of attention to your part in this situation. Boy, folks can get hot under the collar real quick on that. It's not my fault. It's their fault. And if you're going to talk that way, I don't need to talk to you anymore. So we need to take God's Word and to know that success comes from the understanding of God's Word for our individual life. And then we express our love back to Him by doing God's Word for our individual life. Luke 4:4. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. This is when he was under in temptation. This is when Satan was tempted. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, as many folks that have tried to tear down the power of that scripture and sort of read over it and, you know, not pay any attention to the depth of it, let me read it again. But Jesus answered him, saying, speaking to Satan, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but, now, when you see that, notice that he's not mentioning bread now, but by every word of God. When you and I will focus into the truth and the understanding of God, the bread's coming. The bread is given to us. But many would say, but, you know, you got to have the bread and every word of God. God has promised to his children that he wouldn't never leave us begging. And we don't. When do we end up in trouble? When we go to the world and we don't talk to God about where we are. When you're getting ready to go into the world and you stop and asking directions, too often Christians don't ask God for directions. So they'll follow the direction of man. It's somewhat like the blind leading the blind. And God says, I want you to have the wisdom of your life. There's a lot of people breathing and counted as alive, but they are miserable, folks. They count it as alive and they can find no peace. To me, life deals with, you know, what can you give to help someone else to know that you have the peace? It doesn't matter what's going to come. And it's not that you're not going to cry. It's not that you're not going to hurt. It's not that bad things are not going to happen to you. It's that right through the whole mess of all of it, we have that peace that surpasses all understanding. And when it comes to God, you and I do not understand God's love. We do not understand why our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died on the cross for us while we were still laughing at him. We don't understand that kind of love. But we don't have to understand it to believe it and accept it. That's the peace that we get. I know I'm a mess. Christians recognize the mess that we're in. And by recognizing the mess, we're telling the Lord, Lord, I am a sinner. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And we get the blessings. Don't try standing toe-to-toe with God and trying to tell him what good things that we have done. Let's look at wisdom and the Word of God. Are we ready? Look at enthusiasm, Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you're going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. Now, remember this on that scripture. This is about the human existence. This is about my human body. Now, when God gave each one of us one shot at this, this is our time. This is our time to glorify God. For we can't say, well, we're waiting until death, and then we'll glorify God, because this body is going to the grave. We're not, we're going on home. But you and I cannot, from that point when God calls us home, we can no longer make a difference through the physical body on earth. So he says, minister while you can. Young men, focus on the love of the youth of your life. Focus on life and what you can do to glorify God now. Oh, remember when Jesus told Peter, warned him and said, you know, because dedicate yourself to the Lord because the time is coming when you will be carried about and not have any say in where you're going. That's a rough paraphrase of mine. But if you remember that, he was getting the warning. One day is coming when you no longer, gosh, I don't know how to put this, when you no longer, well, let's do it to the world, you're no longer relevant. To God, we're always relevant. But to the world, we get to the point, well, what can that person do for me? Well, they can't even help themselves, and they can't help themselves. They can't help me, so why do I care? They're not relevant. Sadly, I witness it with children, with their own parents. And you're seeing this breakdown, but it ought not to ever happen in the family of God. But do it with enthusiasm, whatever your hand finds to do, because later on, you're not going to have that kind of hand to do it. We got this one time. Okay. Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. The next is opportunity. Matthew 7:7. And this is the wisdom of life. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Is that not the word of Jesus telling us that? Okay. Opportunities are seldom labeled. Now, when you say, well, I'm waiting for the right opportunity. Really? If we don't get out there, folks, opportunities aren't labeled. We are led directly to those opportunities by the Holy Spirit. And when we say, well, I'm waiting for that right opportunity, that means we're too ornery to get up and get out in the world. And let me fall in the ditch. Let me make my mistakes. Let me go out into the world and say, well, I think I can do it this way. And I couldn't do it that way. So what happens? I get knocked down. But a Christian is to get knocked down and get up. Our salvation and our commitment to the Lord is not based on how many times that we're knocked down. It's based more on how many times we get up. And sometimes it's not easy getting up, is it? Sometimes you get the wind just knocked out of you so bad, you just don't want to get up. I talked to Job about that one day. The next one is the cost, to always weigh all of these. Cost, 1 Peter 1, 18-19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Now, wouldn't the works of the flesh be corruptible things? Wouldn't the ideals of man be corruptible things? So knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. Well, you talk about corruption. Have you ever heard as many kickbacks in all of your life? You know, I was thankful in the early years of giving $10 to $15 to fill a pulpit. I never dreamed anybody would have ever been paid $250,000 for one speech. That's got to be a great speech, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay. Like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Now, folks, it's great to have tradition. But it is not great when tradition supersedes God and the worship of Him. No, this is the way we're going to have it. But wait a minute. The Spirit of the Lord has come upon me, and I've got to preach now. It hadn't happened many times where I've said, Randy, send the choir down. But it happens. And when you know it, and you are to immediately go. You don't wait and say, wait a minute, Lord, I'll get back to you. We haven't sung our three songs of prayer and taken the offering yet. You know, we got to get it right to be real traditional Baptists. But not from receive from tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Therefore, well, I guess you're going into heaven spotless. Yes, I am. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's why my body can't come into heaven. The flesh cannot see and stand in the presence of God and live. Therefore, God blessed us by saying, you have to die to separate that body. That body's got to go because it's corrupt. But now, Larry, don't worry about it, because before that body even hits the floor, you're with me. Well, I like that. That means our ride is in, Miss Jean. And I'm excited about it. But that goes back to enthusiasm. I'm enthusiastic over what Christ has done. I'm enthusiastic over seeing the lost saved. Oh, you all know the burden that I have to see people. It worries me to a point of almost sickness, worried about people that haven't accepted Jesus. I don't have an enemy ever. I don't care how many stabbings or anything else I've had. I do not want to see anyone go to hell. And I'm never happy about it. This coming year, folks, I know good and well that God is calling me to evangelistic preaching here, and I'm going to be doing it. I know also the hell that's going to come straight against me when I do. I remember the one message, and I'm sure the theme of it will be brought back into Satan's death warrant. Some of you all may remember that I used it in revivals, the theme. I can never preach it the same twice, but the theme. And I got to the point that Faye was worried about me, because I'd got to the point I did not want to preach it. Now, I didn't want to go against God, but I did not want to preach. When Lawrence Phillips called me down to do that revival at the prison, he said, "Larry, I want you to come down and do Satan's death warrant." I said, "I want you to shoot me up here," because every time I would do that message, dealing with the reality of hell, the reality of that warrant that Satan has out for us, I mean, everything went wrong with me. Everything would go. There was something bad happening a solid week before it. And here I have announced to our church that I'm going to be preaching evangelistically for every Sunday out of next year. I know my calling. I know when God calls me to do that. But it's almost terrifying for me. Explain another thing to you. Again, when I went into ministry, when I got to learn under such great professors that I did, it stuck with me. And at that time, I didn't think, I could not relate to it, because Dr. George Redding said, the first thing he said, for every minute you preach, you must have an hour worth of study. For every minute you study for an hour. I thought, man, that's a lot of studying for that. Okay. But he said, a 20-minute sermon that is given under the power of the Holy Spirit is equal to an 8-hour day of hard labor. And I thought, he just got too old. That's his problem. You know, he gets worn down and all. Yes. And then I found out the meaning of it. You know, you get older, you get ready to die, and all of a sudden, oh, the light goes on, like that Ford. You know, you got the light bulb on. He was right. What it is, you're emotionally drained to the point to where it's even difficult for clear thinking. I never dreamed that that would happen, but it does happen. It eats you alive because it is the Holy Spirit grabs you and is saying there's a soul needing saving. And when you know there's a soul needing saving and you have the heart for the Lord, that I can't save, you can't save, none of us can. So that means that the Lord says, rightly divide my word, okay? As soon as a preacher starts thinking about that, what does Satan say? Well, you're going to mess up here. You're going to mess up there. So your spiritual concentration must be on who Christ is. Well, Satan is still lambasting the physical part, your brain. You're dealing spiritually. Satan's nailing your brain. And, you know, you're out there. And by the time you get through with that battle, it's over for you. Seeing that and knowing when God calls us to revival, folks, is it not an honor as Christians to truly be able to represent Christ? And as he gives us, how many flaws that I have and all of that, but you and I with one another, you are given the same Spirit, and therefore we get to glory in the blessings of who Christ is. But folks, we get to see people saved. You remember the old time revivals of when people would come and you would see people getting saved. And I would chuckle about that, because I said we need to have a revival so people get saved. The revivals were set for the church to be revived to go out after the lost. What happens, though, when the church gets the heart together to go into the outreach or the witness or that type of preaching, when we do that, God sends the lost. It's not that you go out and get them that way. We go out, they want to come. Why? There's something different going on. Which, again, breaks my heart. I love to see it, those special stories about the good part of what cops are doing, you know, and then you see the good deeds that are being done. But as I've shared with you, what really breaks my heart is is so uncommon that it makes news. Yeah, and see, I liked it better when murders were kept the front page, because that was odd. You know, somebody, that's why it makes front page. You've got this. But now, getting saved, doing something nice or kind. Okay, the best things in life. Did I read 1 Peter 1:18-19, didn't I? Yeah, well, I went in every direction. The cost, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Okay, that just negated. We did not get redeemed by all of the tradition and stuff. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, the best things in life are not free. Well, salvation is free. Salvation is a gift given to us. Jesus paid the price. And what a price he paid. Wisdom, Proverbs 10:5. He who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Well, if you remember, Peter really hit it later on with clearing that up. The Apostle Peter, when he said, you know what we were told, if you don't work, you don't eat. Hey, if you're too honored to get, my Papa Sam and them, when they had the corn ready and going and told me, you know, we've got a corn out here for you. Is it shooked, Simmy? Had they got it shooked? So we got more corn. The wise does at once what the fool does at last. Huh? Okay. Page 2. Paul Harvey, happiness. Philippians 4:12. I know what it is to be in need. Oh, Paul did. But listen to him. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. The happiest people don't necessarily have the best of everything. They just make the best of everything. No, they don't. And I remember Mom saying when they were questioning her after Dad died, said, because a lot of the uncles and all wanted us to be farmed out to them. And I had some mean, they had a lot of mean people in my family, but they'd farm them out. And she said, if my kids have to eat nothing but cornbread and beans, then that's what we'll have. But they will stay together. They wanted us separated. Well, now I happen to still love cornbread and beans. I never knew what, you know, bunch of city slickers, they don't have any idea how good that meal is, do they? 2 Timothy 2:5, well, let's deal with work. We're ready? 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth, which is rightly dividing the word of God. Anybody get in that pulpit, you're going to be nervous because of that. Well, anyone gets in the pulpit called of God, you don't want to make a mistake and you're afraid. That's why preachers like me and others, that's why we get off the subject, trying to explain our way into where we don't mess up the scripture. And well, wouldn't it just be more simple to say, you know, 1, 2, 3? Not when I had to go to 50, it wasn't. But you protect the holiness of God's word. God's word is set apart for salvation. You and I are set apart as holy for God's purpose. And that purpose is to win the lost. And the end result on that one was even a mosquito doesn't get a slap on the back until he starts to work. The next one is discipline. 1 Corinthians 9:24-25. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. They've changed that now. Everybody gets the trophy. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. See, the blessing we have, when you know Christ, you can't lose, folks. When you know Christ, I mean, they can kill you. Yeah. But it's still, I think, in the United States against law to eat you. You know, they can kill you. But, we got a lot of cannibals out there now. Yeah, that's right. All this. No life ever grows great until it is focused, dedicated, and disciplined. Focus on conquering yourself rather than the world. When you conquer yourself, you have just conquered your part of the world. And you allow Christ then to lead. What's the conquering part? The conquering part is realizing I can't do it. And I don't care. I had that one professor jump me one day and really almost embarrassed me. That's not easy to do. But when he said, what has God laid on your hearts out here? Has God told you something today? And my statement was, God said to me, the best I can be is bad. Well, he really took offense to that. Yeah. And I said, and I knew he had read the scripture, surely. But the best I can be is bad. Anything good comes out of me, is it not through Christ? Does he not tell us, does the word of God not warn us that he sees now that the heart of man is evil continually? That not only that, not only can we not do what is good, it is impossible for us to do it without Christ. So we'll discuss that with you when we get to heaven. Status, Matthew 23, first part of verse 5, in dealing with status. But all their works they do to be seen by men. I knew you all would love listening. You ready? Definition of status is buying something you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't like. Now that's it, isn't it? Woo! Yeah. Well, I got to impress them. Well, you don't even like them. Yeah, I know it. Okay, the next is the future. Isaiah 43:18 through the first part of 19. Do not remember the former things. I got this scripture down pat, folks. Right from the beginning. Do not remember the former things. I have no trouble with that part. You, Brother Randy?
What are we talking
about? Nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. See, in Christ, meaning what I've heard my life, or you've heard, the negative. Jesus said, you woke up today, Larry, I'll do something new in your life. And all day long, if we will allow him, we've got new experiences. And it's much better to trust the Lord with those new experiences and trying to think them up yourself to go have those new experiences. When God leads you in that direction, it's already blessed. When you think that you can control which way God leads you, you're in trouble. I like the dreams of the future better than the history of the past. Yeah, well, we got to start dreaming again for a future. We look at it today and we... I hurt for the children, and I hurt for the aged. And I don't even know what that means anymore. Because I hurt for anyone who is trampled underfoot by bullies of the world. Satan's a bully. Well, he met his match, though, in the garden, didn't he? Job 8, verse 7. Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly. Now, I take that as even 5 years ago. I was in good shape. Now, I've increased abundantly from the smaller to the larger. Well, it may go deeper than that, reckon. Don't be discouraged. Everyone who got where he is started where he was. Work on that, Brother Larry. Next one's trust. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, there's not a one of us that haven't had to deal with that one, right? Trust in yourself and you're doomed to disappointment. But trust in God and you're never to be confounded in time or eternity. The last one is winning. Proverbs 24:16. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. The man who wins may have been counted out several times, but he didn't hear the referee. 1 Corinthians 10:11. These things happen to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. That's the Bible for us, folks, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. The New Testament church, what we call the New Testament, the coming of Jesus Christ, ushered in the beginning of the end. It's the fulfillment of the ages. The fulfillment came with Christ 2,000 years ago. And remember, those who followed in him thought he was coming back. That's how, within their lifetime. He was coming back in the lifetime of the generation. Look at the generations today that we are focusing on. The attitude of the generation that turned against God. We're seeing the same attitude again. Have you ever heard such... today it was another football player decided to have prayer. That they're pointed to heaven, did something. And you know how recognizing God. Learn by experience, preferably other people's. We parents tell our kids that all the time. Don't do that. There's a reason, but they don't get it. And then what happens? They tell their kids. Well, we try to get across to them.